Good morning to everyone. My word of appreciation for everyone who's here today, for those who are watching on the live stream. It's good for us to be together with one another, continue to worship our Lord, and think about what we can do to live to please Him. He is our Creator. He made us. He purposed us. And our purpose in life is to live for Him. Thank you for being here today, for your faith and your interest in spiritual things. About 19 years ago, right before we moved up here, the school year had started at Mississippi State University, and there was a young man who showed up on Sunday morning with his mother and father. Nice young man. His father pulled me aside after services and said, "I want you to know my son's not a Christian yet." He said, his mom and I are concerned, but he's always at services with us, and he tries to be active. He helps out around the congregation, but he hasn't been baptized yet. He's not a Christian yet. And he goes, "I just want you guys to know so you can encourage him." So I said, "Okay, yeah, we'd love to do that." So I talked to him more and more, and we set up on Sunday. We were going to get together on Tuesday and go fishing because he liked to go fishing. So, you know, to the fishers, you become a fisher. And you just try to spend that time with them. About 10 o'clock on Monday night, there was a knock on the door. And I got up and went to the door, and he was there. And I opened the door, and he said, "I want to be baptized."
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. That's better than someone standing there with a check for $1 million. "I want to be baptized." And he was baptized that night. He had been hanging around some of the other guys in the congregation. He knew what he needed to do, but he had just sort of been dragging his feet about it. And he just came to the point where he said, "This is just what I need to do." And he was baptized that night. It was a great, great moment with his new friends. And he called his parents and they were excited. Baptism is something that we talk about a lot from time to time, but if we're not careful, it becomes almost old hat. It's just something that we're very comfortable with. It's like a worn pair of shoes we don't really think about. It's just something that's there. But in Scripture, baptism is a big deal. And I wonder this morning, while most of us have likely been baptized, I wonder if there's someone here this morning who hasn't been baptized. And who recognizes that maybe I need to think about this. Maybe you're asking this morning, "Do I need to be baptized?" When we talk about it and you hear about it, do I need to do this incredible action? What is it? What's baptism all about? As a community, I want us this morning to just think about it for a while. And for us to reflect upon it, not just as a community, but as individuals who are striving to learn more about God and to be pleasing to the Lord. Do I need to be baptized? I want to begin by just asking the question, what does baptism mean to begin with? What is baptism? If you look at the Greek word means to be immersed. It means to be buried. Jesus in Matthew chapter 20, in speaking to his disciples, James and John, when they said, you know, "Can we be on your left hand and right hand?" He said, "Can you be baptized with the baptism that I'm going to be baptized with?" Now, the baptism they were speaking of was an immersion in pain and an immersion in sorrow that was coming upon him. And then you find in Matthew chapter 3, Luke chapter 3, Mark chapter 1, John the Baptist speaks of the baptism of the Holy Spirit that was coming. And that took place in Acts chapter 2 and in Acts chapter 10. And that was just this overwhelming of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles and then upon Cornelius. But that was a baptism, this sense of being immersed in something. But more times than not, when in the New Testament we read of the idea of baptism, it is baptism in water. That was a rite of passage in the first century church where someone moved from being in one state to another. It's found over and over again, especially in the book of Acts. Paul mentions it as well. The big debate for centuries has been, though, what is baptism all about? Most, quote, Christian religious groups don't question a need for baptism. They may question what baptism is all about and how it's to be carried out. But most agree that baptism is a good thing. But how it is carried out and what it is for are big issues. Let me just sort of briefly move you through a couple of things. Baptism in Scripture represents that moment when God washes away the sins of the person who is being baptized. In Acts chapter 22, verse 16, where you find the story of Saul of Tarsus. Saul was an enemy of the church, persecuting the church. We find that when he comes before Ananias, who is an early disciple, Ananias asks him, "And now why do you wait arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. Now here Ananias says that baptism for Saul of Tarsus involved the idea of washing sins away. Now open your Bibles to Acts chapter 9 just for a moment. Acts chapter 9. I want to just point you to a couple of things. In Acts chapter 9 we have a conversion story of Saul of Tarsus. Same story as Acts chapter 22, but with a little more detail. Jesus appears to Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus, and Saul of Tarsus is struck blind. I want you to notice in verse 8, so Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were open, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. And then we find Christ speaking to the disciple Ananias, and then he goes to Saul, and Saul is baptized. Okay. Now I want you to notice verse 9 though. For 3 days he was without sight. This is 3 days before he was baptized. What do you think for 3 days Saul of Tarsus was thinking? Saul of Tarsus had been persecuting early Christians. And now on the road to Damascus he sees Jesus and he knows he was wrong. And he knows at least one man is dead. And others have been separated from their families because of him. So for 3 days, if you were Saul of Tarsus, what would you have been praying? I think it's pretty obvious. My God, what have I done? My God, forgive me. His faith in Christ by this point was not in question. His repentance was not in question. That even after having prayed and fasted for 3 days, when he comes before Ananias, Ananias says, you need to wash away your sins. His sins were still there. Baptism washes away our sins. Baptism, in that same light, forgives our sins. Now, let me make this point. Baptism would do no good were it not for the grace of God. So without question, we are saved by God's grace. And baptism would do no good were it not for faith in Jesus. We'll deal with that in just a moment. So we're not talking about water regeneration. We are talking about one doing what God has told him to do. And when one does that, sins are forgiven. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, when the Jews who had persecuted Christ and killed him, when they cried out, having understood that they were lost, what are we to do? Peter said, repent and let and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It says, when you are baptized, you are being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Baptism, then, by God's grace, forgives us of our sins. Baptism, in the text that Jonathan read a few moments ago, changes our lives. If you remember what he was reading there, it is that moment of baptism when we move from being a sinner to a saint, from being dead to being alive, from being captive to being free. Faith is certainly a part of that that brings us to that moment. But in Paul's epistle to the Romans, it is baptism that stands at that pivotal point of change between one condition to another condition. And if you open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3, Paul reminds us in this text of the importance of baptism and what baptism does and what significance it means in the life of the one who has been baptized. Verse 1, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Now go back to chapter 2. Look at verse 11. In him also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And so then you go to verse chapter 3, verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, what's Paul referring to here? He's referring to you were baptized. And if you read through that text, he starts saying, because you were raised, you are now changed. So baptism is that moment where God changes our lives. Baptism is the moment, Paul said in Galatians chapter 3, where we put on Christ. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And Peter pulls it together very nicely in 1 Peter chapter 3, where Peter tells us baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you. Again, I have to tell you, it's not just in the water. If I walked out on the street and I attacked somebody and knocked them over the head with a billy club and I drug them in here and I put them in the baptistry, it wouldn't do any good at all. No good at all. But when someone comes to Christ with that desire to be his child, baptism is a radical act. It's an incredible act. We need to understand when we talk about baptism just how significant it is. The second question I want to ask is then the big question for the sermon, do I need to be baptized? And I struggled with this a lot, how to put this. And what I really want us to think about here is what is needed in me to be baptized? What is required in me? What does God expect in me? And there are a couple of questions I would ask. And the first one is, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Because that's a really, really important part of the whole idea of being baptized. In Acts chapter 8, we have the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And you find in verse 35, Philip opened his mouth, and in this text, the eunuch was reading from the book of Isaiah, and Philip came up and said, hey, do you understand what you're reading? He goes, well, how can I unless someone teach me? Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What prevents me from being baptized? Now, this is the ESV. If you have the New King James translation, there's a verse 37. And in verse 37, Philip says, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And the eunuch responds by saying, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, if you have an ESV, verse 37 is not there. 36 and then verse 38. And that's because in some of the older manuscripts, this one particular verse is not found there, but it's found in a number of others. All I'm saying there is that there are some who say the wording of that verse may not be there. But even if you take that verse out, I would suggest to you that in verses 35 and 36, the idea is certainly found there. Because the eunuch is reading from Isaiah 53, and Philip preaches Jesus to him. The one who will bear the sin, the one who is the suffering lamb who will die for his people. And when Philip hears that message, he says, see, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? So he got it. He put it together. He wanted to follow Christ. He believed in him. And that's where it all begins for us. If you are to be baptized, you must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And Jesus Christ came to save you. Second question. Do you understand that you're a sinner? In Acts chapter 2, verse 37, we referenced verse 38 a minute ago where Peter said, repent and be baptized. In verse 37, when the Jews heard about Christ and what they had done and they were responsible for the death of Christ, when they heard this, they were cut to their hearts. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? I mean, just think about that. As a Jew, you have been waiting all of your life and for generations. You've been waiting for the Messiah to come, and you've heard teachings in the synagogue about the Messiah who's going to be coming and this great king. And you've been waiting for it. And then you find out from Peter and the apostles, you killed him. He came, God sent him, and you killed him. Boy, what a hopeless condition to be in. What are we supposed to do now? Peter said, it's okay. You need to repent and you need to be baptized. You blew it, but God will have mercy on you. If you want to be baptized, you've got to understand that you've blown it in the course of your life. God stated things to do, you didn't do them. God stated things not to do, you did them. You have to own up to that. You have to recognize that you need a Savior, and you have to recognize that you are lost. In Acts chapter 16, when the Apostle Paul and Silas, and our brother Josh reminded us of this text Wednesday night, when they were singing in the prison and the earthquake takes place, and the jailer thinks all the prisoners have gotten out, and he comes in, he's going to kill himself, and Paul says, don't do this, we're all there. And the man must have heard them singing. He heard something in their voice, in their teaching. And he fell before them. He says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? There's a lot to unpack right there. You want to be baptized, you have to understand you are lost. There are no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You stand before God, guilty as a sinner. And there's only one option for you. That's hell. You're not saved. You don't have a home in heaven one day. You know that you are lost. And you brought it on yourself by your own sin. If you understand that, then you can be baptized. But let me give you one more that's really, really important. And that is, are you willing? Are you repentant? And are you ready to commit yourself to following after Jesus Christ? Because there are a lot of people who like the idea of becoming a Christian, and so they come and they're baptized, and then just sort of, they don't change at all. And the very heart of the text that Jonathan read in Romans chapter 6, and the heart of Colossians chapter 3 is, you don't come to Christ and go through this process of being baptized without a radical change taking place in your life. Now, you're still going to struggle with a lot of things as you go through your life, but you must be committed to change. You must look at all the things that have messed your life up royally and say, I don't want to do those things anymore. It may be a challenge for me. Will be a challenge for me. But I'm going to strive to be the person God wants me to be. I'm going to grow. I'm going to learn. I'm going to worship Him. If you're not willing to do that, then you may not need to be baptized. But if you say, that's the path I want to take. I want to be a different person. I want to walk in newness of life, as Paul says in Romans chapter 6. Then you need to be baptized. Having said that, there are some people who don't need to be baptized immediately. And I'm just going to take the opposite of all the things I just went through. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ, if you don't believe He's the Son of God, really no point in you being baptized. If you don't believe that you're a sinner in need of God's grace, there's no point in you being baptized. You don't believe that you're lost because of what you've done, there's no point in you being baptized. And if you're not really ready to commit and follow Christ, there's no need for you to be baptized. You say, well, why would someone want to be baptized if they didn't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, or they didn't believe that they're a sinner, or they didn't believe that they were lost? They weren't ready to commit. Why would they even do it? Let me tell you, there are a lot of people who are baptized who aren't ready for all those things. Maybe they're baptized because they want to make their wife happy. Want to get their wife off their back. You know, they've been coming, when you're going to be baptized, and they just, all right, I'll do it. And they're baptized. Or maybe they want to make their husband happy. Or maybe they want to make mom and dad happy. And they just do it just to get them off their back. But nothing really changed. You know what happened? They got wet. So as much as you need to be baptized, because, by the way, you are lost. And you are a sinner. And you need to do something about that. If you're not ready to follow Jesus this morning, you don't need to be baptized yet. And then there's another group of people who sometimes don't need to be baptized. And I step into this a little cautiously, and that's children. There are a number of religious groups that baptize infants. And I would just ask you, look at the examples that we've seen so far, and there's so many other examples we could look at. What you find when someone is baptized is they believe. They know they are lost. They know that they're sinners. They're ready to follow Christ. An infant can't do any of those things. And while I applaud any parent who seeks to dedicate their child to Christ and dedicate their child to God, that's a wonderful thing. If someone is baptized as an infant, that's not the biblical pattern. And mom and dad may have done it with the best of intentions, but that's not the baptism we see in Scripture. And older children get really tricky. When children are brought up in a good Christian home, they want to please. They want to make mom and dad happy, and they want to make God happy. And they start hearing that you need to be baptized at some point, and they start thinking about that. Well, maybe I need to be baptized. And it's a wonderful thing to think. I love it when a young person comes to me and they say, you know, I've been thinking about being baptized, and can I talk to you? Oh, that's great. Let's sit down. Let's talk for a while. One of the questions I ask a young person, and this is a heavy question, I know, is if you were to die right now, you think you'd go to heaven or hell? It takes a lot of kids back because most kids don't think about that. But I'll tell you, their answer is very telling. If they say, I would go to heaven, I ask, well, why? And sometimes I'll hear them say, well, children are right with God and they haven't done anything wrong. And I'll tell them, you're exactly right. You're exactly right. And there's really not a need for you to be baptized right now. But I'll tell you what, there's going to be a day pretty soon where you're going to change that answer. And you're going to know, if I died right now, I wouldn't go to heaven. Because I've done things that I knew were wrong. And I knew they didn't please God, and I did them anyway. And that's the day you need to be baptized. Right. So, you know, when you deal with a child who wants to be saved and they want to be baptized, for you parents, encourage them that that's a great thing for you to be thinking about. I'm so glad you're thinking about this. Let's talk about this for a little while. And maybe you can tell them, you know what, I think you're moving in that direction. I don't think you're quite ready yet. But my experience has been, when they're ready, you're not going to stop them. Yeah, you can put little nice little barriers in front of them just to try to see if they stop. And if they stop, I don't think they're ready. But once they decided, no, I need to be baptized, then they need to be baptized. But you need to work through that process. And sometimes it can be very challenging. I'd be happy to help in any way that I can. So, who needs to be baptized? Who doesn't need to be baptized? Third question I would ask, what if I've been baptized already? Okay. Because there are religious groups out there. And so maybe you were in a denomination at one point and you were baptized. Teresa, when she was a teenager, she was in a denomination that believed that you are saved by faith, that moment where you express faith, and then you're baptized later on. Right. And so she was baptized, immersed in water. And maybe you went through a baptism like that. And so you think, well, I was baptized already. Or maybe you were sprinkled, or maybe someone poured water over you and you're sitting there looking at Scripture and you're going, like, I don't really see that in Scripture. And I don't see people being sprinkled. I see people being immersed. And maybe that baptism that I went through wasn't really right. One of the objections I run into a lot is people who will say, well, okay, so I see I need to be baptized for the remission of my sins, and I know I need to be immersed. But, you know, I was immersed and I was baptized, you know. Doesn't that count? So I'll give you this illustration. Let's say you go to the doctor and you want to get a flu shot. And you go and he gives you the shot or she gives you the shot and you leave and, you know, everything's fine. You're immune from the flu now. But then you get a call from the doctor's office and they say, we made a mistake. We gave you the wrong shot. We need you to come back in and get another one. How many of you are going to say, I got a shot? That's all that counts, right? I got a shot, and so I'm good. Well, none of us would say that, right? We don't go, oh, okay. Because if it wasn't the flu shot, then it wasn't the flu shot. And the baptism that we see was a baptism for the remission of sins. Or what I see a lot of times are people who start thinking about their relationship with the Lord because they were baptized a long time ago, but they were baptized because their friends were baptized. You know, maybe a group of the young people are all together and one's baptized and it's almost like there's the dam burst open and then another one's baptized and another one. And I've had people come to me years later and say, you know, I've been thinking about my baptism and I'm not sure that I did it for the right reason. All my buddies were doing it and I knew I needed to and I'm just not sure. Or maybe you did it just to make someone happy. What are you supposed to do then? Open your Bible to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19 is an example of a group of men who were rebaptized. Verse 1 of chapter 19. And it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples. And he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Then he said, into what then were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. Mark chapter 1 verse 14 tells us that John's baptism was for the remission of sins. And Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So here, once they began to understand that their baptism was not the baptism that was appropriate, they said, well, either they said or Paul said, you need to be baptized again, or we need to be baptized again. The bottom line is, they were baptized again. And maybe you need to be baptized again. Maybe as you think about the baptism that you received as an infant, maybe when you think about the baptism you received when you were in a denomination, you're thinking, that wasn't for the remission of my sins. Or I was sprinkled, I wasn't immersed. It's not what I see in Scripture. And I don't want to take any chances. I want to get my life right with God. I want to know that I've done what He told me to do. You need to be baptized again. Or maybe, like I said, your friends all did and you went along. I've had so many Christians over the years, so many Christians, who have come and they talked to me and they talked to me and Teresa, and they just have questions about their baptism. Let me say this. If you're struggling with sin, but when you were baptized for the remission of sins. You know you were baptized for the remission of sins. But if you're thinking that, well, maybe if I'm baptized again, I won't have this struggle with sin. I have to tell you, that's not a reason to be baptized again. That may just be a challenge you're going to face. But if you have questions, trust me, it's not that big of a deal to do it. It's really not. I can't tell you how many people over the years in this congregation who have come and said, can I meet you on Tuesday morning? I think I need to be baptized again. And there's not a big deal made out of it because in their life they have tried to follow God, but they just started having questions that maybe they didn't do it for the right reason. So you don't have to make a big deal out of it. We don't have to announce it to everyone. But if you question whether your baptism was for the remission of sins, why wait? Inevitably, when I talk to these people, when they're baptized, they'll say something like, I've been worrying about this for months, or I've been thinking about this for years. I feel so much better. And I'm thinking, why did you wait that long? There's really no need to wait that long. You want to keep it private? We'll keep it private. Just give me a call. And we can fix this right away if you need to be baptized again. Last question. And with this one, we'll close. When should I be baptized? Well, there are a lot of denominations, I said a moment ago, because they believe that you're saved by faith. They baptize people, but they baptize them like a week or two after they express that faith. Teresa, again, the church that she was a part of, she confessed faith, she and her buddy, and 2 weeks later they baptized them. 2 weeks. They waited 2 weeks to baptize two girls. And I have to tell you, that's not the biblical pattern. Acts chapter 16, verse 33, the jailer again, the Philippian jailer, when he says, what must I do to be saved? He takes Paul and Silas, he washes them, cleanses them. We find in verse 33, he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds, and he was baptized at once. At once. And then you look at Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Now, this is just a fascinating text. Peter preaches verse 38, repent and let everyone be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Verse 41, so those who received this word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. You realize what that means? That means in one day, 3,000 people were baptized. That's a lot of people. That means all day long, people are being baptized. You say, logistically, how did that work? Well, they probably had multiple sources of water, and they just took people in. They moved them through. It's not a long process. But they baptized them, 3,000 people. But there is this denomination that waits 2 weeks to baptize two girls. How does that work? Why would 3,000 people be baptized in one day? If there's ever a case to schedule this out for a couple of weeks, Acts chapter 2 would have been the place, right? We got 3,000 people we got to move through here. Why? Why did they baptize 3,000 people in one day? Let me give you another example. Let's say you go to the doctor. Say I go to the doctor. And the doctor says, Mark, you got cancer in your arm. And let's say this is the second opinion. So we've gone through the first opinion. And the doctor says it is a really, really nasty form of cancer and it's going to kill you if we don't take that arm off. We need to sever your arm right away. What are you going to do? Well, okay. Jump into the gun there, Roger. But that's the point. Okay. The doctor says he's going, okay, well, you know, you're the second doctor who said this. I don't want to get my arm amputated, but I need to do this because it's going to kill me. When can I get it done? He looks at his calendar and goes, well, I've got an opening in 2 months. Can you come then? What are you thinking? No. 2 months? What if it kills me before then? Is there any way you can get me in sooner? He goes, well, it's... Well, actually, I can do it in 5 minutes. Which one are you going to do? Well, you know which one you're going to do. If you know that the doctor's right, and if you know that what you have in you is threatening your life, you're going to want to deal with it ASAP. So on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people were baptized in one day. And that's what you see as you look example after example in the New Testament of people when they recognized they needed to be saved. They wanted to be baptized right away. So I'll close with a question. Do you need to be baptized? Do you need to be rebaptized? I'll give you this very, very simple admonition. See, here's water. What hinders you from being saved? If we can help you in any way, we'd love to do so. While we stand, while we sing, for your encouragement.